raise them real high and say, "This is my Bible. And if it's my cell phone, Lord, I'll turn the volume down. Lord, I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I'll do. I will do what it says I'll do. In Jesus' name, amen." Man, I'm here to tell you. I was telling some, we had our leadership Christmas dinner at our house the other night. And I was talking to somebody. I don't remember who exactly. I talked to everybody. But I was talking to somebody and I said, "Lately, I've been emotional." Anybody ever been? Have you been emotional? Was that you, Stan? I was talking to Stan. "Lately, I've been very emotional. I mean, I'm listening to songs and I'm just weeping and crying. And I couldn't figure out what's going on." And exactly what Shari just said, compassion. There's such a compassion that, I mean, like, how many of you know I could be rude? My sister raised her hand wrong. Y'all just being polite. But sometimes I have been known to be very rude in the way I communicate. And I apologize for that. But the Lord is softening my heart in these days. Aren't you glad that He's not finished with us yet? He's just doing some mighty work. I'm here to tell you that there's a word for you today. And this is the word. Listen, victory. God's got some victory for His people. I was thinking to myself, I said, why do so many of us not feel victorious? Why do we not feel the victory sometimes? We just kind of like living life and we feel like, okay, on Sunday morning when everything's going great and you have a great service and it's a great worship time, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, I'm victorious. And then we get to Walmart and we're buying lunch and we're getting upset already. Or we go somewhere and, boy, all of a sudden our spirit starts stirring up discomfort, dissatisfaction, unpleasant thoughts. I believe that Shari said something about it. She said, because many of us are tired of fighting. We've been fighting a long time. But the problem is we've been fighting the wrong battle. We've been looking for the one punch shot and think, hallelujah, I just took out the devil. Glory to God. Now I'm all better and I can walk in victory. How many of you know it's a continuous fight? Do you know that when they go to war and there's an army out there, the guys that's on the front line with their weapons, they don't go, pow, I got him, I got him. Do anybody rejoice and run around and get excited all about they shot one? Or do they realize there's a whole battle in front of us? And many of us in our Christian life, we had take that one punch, pow, and we think, whoa, that felt great. I'm so victorious. Look how good I am. I'm a good Christian. I've been praying. But I'm here to tell you that it's the long haul. It's the word that says long suffering. Have you ever realized that the word tells us that's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Long. Say long. Long suffering. Do you remember 1 Corinthians 9:24? It says this. Do you not know that those who run in a race, they all run, but only one receives the prize? He tells us to run in such a way that you might obtain it. Run in such a way that you might obtain the prize. For everyone that competes for the prize is temperate in all things. That means tried, tested, and disciplined ourselves into going and keep going and keep training. That's what it says. In all things, what? Now, they do not obtain but a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Do you realize that eternity is a long time? We just have just this period of time that we're living to prepare ourselves. Therefore, I run thus, not as with uncertainty. Where are we fighting? Do we realize that we have to fight our fight? Sometimes we're looking around and we're fighting other people's fight and other people's battles. And if you're called to intercede, yes, you are called to do that, then go for it. But make sure that we're ready. Because if we're not ready, watch what it says. Therefore, I run thus, not as with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one just beating the air. Because, see, if we're not doing what God called us to do, then we're walking in disobedience. But what's this? But I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection to the Lord's word, not to mine. I live by faith in the Son of God, lest I have preached to others, oh, come on, brother, you got to get things right. And I find myself, I should be disqualified. How many of us are fighting in our flesh instead of our spiritual, instead of our spirit man? Talked to you a little bit last week about that spirit man, realizing that there's a wonderful life, a wonderful world to live in. Louis Armstrong's Wonderful World. I don't know, have you ever contemplated that song, and have you ever thought about, here he is, a black man back in the 50s and 60s, and he's saying how wonderful a life it is, and how he walks by and he shakes the people's hands as they walk by. Oh, my goodness. And they say, I love you. My goodness. It's all on where we live, what we have in our heart. Do we discipline ourselves? Remember the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel? This is Zechariah chapter 4 and verse. Listen to this, because this is very important. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Really? Do we realize where the battles are in our life? Do we realize that the battles are in our hearts and minds and soul? Do you have victory in yourself? Do you know that Jesus has called you up out of the miry clay? Do you know he set your feet upon a rock, Christ Jesus? Do you know that you gave your life to Christ? And you said, Lord, from this day forth, I want to serve you. But I'm struggling. There are some people who really are ready for their victory. I just heard a word from the Lord said there's some folks in here right now that's going through a real battle, a real struggle. And the Lord says, I'm fixing to bring you through it. I brought you to this point. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. But step into it. Step out of the boat into the water. Step into what God has for you. Trust him. Amen. Can you just say trust him? Hallelujah. That's a word for somebody here this morning. There are some people who are ready for their victory. Are you ready for your victory? Or you're tired of living in defeat? There are also some people that are wallowing in their defeat. They just like, you know, here I am, just woe is me. I just always got the bad stuff. I got problems. How many of you got problems? Look around. You're not alone. Everybody in here has some kind of an issue or a problem. And I'm not trying to make light of yours. I'm just trying to tell you to put it in. Say, put it in. Perspective. When Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, all of a sudden you start realizing that this problem that you think is so big is a giant in your sight. And we look at it like we're grasshoppers. Uh-oh. That's the beginning of trouble. When you look at yourself as you're not able. I can't do this, Lord. I just can't do it. Uh-oh. Now you're starting to wallow in your defeat. In your defeat. In your defeat. Say mine. Oh, don't agree with me. I'm too sorry. So they are trying. There are some people that's still trying to figure things out. Have you seen some folks that just say, I don't know what I'm doing. I just hear hallelujah. I'm just trying to figure this stuff out. Well, welcome aboard. We all are. The ones that think they got it, they don't. They're just acting like it. So don't worry about where you are. The word came earlier. It said, don't compare yourself to other people. The word tells us that when we compare ourselves by ourselves, we're not wise. That's not wise to look around and say, well, I'm better than this person. But I'm not as good as that person. Don't get caught up in that, because God, how many of you know he's working on you? Do you know where he's at? Do you know he's got a plan? Do you know he's working out things? He's working things out so that you can step right into where you need to be when you need to be there. How many of you been where you need to be? Right when you needed to be there. God's doing this. He's bringing, and sometimes, right in the midst of it, sometimes you may think, well, you know, I don't know if I should be in this church stuff. Well, all of a sudden God starts revealing. Say revealing. His spirit. Do we realize that we have the power that's available to us to overcome? Say overcome. Overcome the flesh, the weakness that we have, the disbelief, the problems that we're struggling with, when we just kind of like, I don't understand. I don't know. Just trust in the Lord and walk. The word says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. How many of you know we need our path directed? We're not too good on our own, are we? We kind of get all caught up and messed up and walking in the wrong way. So all of a sudden we find ourselves going, what? How did I get here? And the Lord says, because you wasn't walking in faith and victory. I'm here to tell you this morning, wow. The Lord's speaking to some folks this morning, and this faith and victory is for somebody. The Lord says, trust me and walk in faith. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to understand what I'm doing, says the Lord, because you won't get it. You won't get it because this is way deeper. Uh-oh. I've just offended three people. It's way deeper than you even can conceive of what's going on. It's deeper than your understanding. Don't try to understand it. But trust me. Rest in me, says the Lord. That's for you. Say amen. We have the power available to us to overcome the flesh. And He wants to give it to us. He wants to pour it out. Do you know He says, I will pour out my Spirit upon... Are you part of all flesh? Or are you just some flesh? You know, it's not just all the people that go to church. It's not just those religious people. It's not. It's all flesh. God wants to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Will you receive it if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness? The word says you shall be filled. What a great word it is that we realize that God wants to encourage and strengthen you and bring you to a place of understanding. Don't give out. Don't give up. Don't get frustrated. Do you know He said, Jesus said this, it is finished. We have the victory. We have the victory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Demons will have to flee. Oh, do you have victory in Jesus? Do you realize that when we walk in faith, when we walk in faith, step by step, here a little, there, line upon line, following Jesus, the author and finisher. Do you know He's the finisher of our faith? He's brought it. He said, it is finished. I already have paid the price for your victory. Now it's up to you, say me, to understand that it's our responsibility to accept Jesus' love, to accept His mercy, to accept His forgiveness, and give out love, and give out mercy, and give out forgiveness. Uh-oh. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness and in our fear. For many of us have been fearful. And that's another word for somebody this morning. The Lord says, you've been fearful about too much. You've been fearful. And the Lord says, today is your day of deliverance. I'm bringing you away from the fear and the doubt and the unbelief. But trust me, says the Lord, because, boy, He's speaking to some folks this morning. I hope it's you. I know it's me. Listen to what the Word says. Oh, Spirit of man. If we want to live in His victory, we must learn. I'm going to go to the Word in just a second. But we must learn to live through it. Say through it. We must learn to live through it. His process. His training ground. His opportunity to bring us to His grace is sufficient for me. Say me. Do you know God's doing something? Say something, Lord. Oh, I just don't get it. Well, that's okay. It'll come. You know what usually happens to me? I don't know about you. Every now and then you get a now revelation. But a lot of times I catch little glimpses of revelation from my life and different things. And then a year later, you look back at a Facebook page and you go, wow, look what I did. Wow, Lord, look where you brought me from. Can you look back maybe a week or two or years or whatever and say, wow, God. Can you just say, wow, God. Wow, God, you are so awesome. What's so cool is He's so merciful and patient with us. Has He been patient and merciful to you? That's how he is. He's a great and glorious God. Watch this. This is what the word says. Here I am. God is, let me stop a minute. Again, the word is coming to somebody that says, in case you didn't realize this, God is with you. If you've given your life to Christ, if you said, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, this is a word for you today. God says, I am with you. I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the end. I'm going to guide you and bring you to a place, says the Lord. Watch what Philippians 1:6 says. Being confident, say confident, of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Oh, can you say complete? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day Jesus comes back. God is working on, say me, God is working on us. And you're not done yet. You're not finished yet. You're not, you know, sometimes I get a little concerned of when I see my I'll just say elders, people that are older than me. And they start like, oh, well, I just can't do it no more. That's for the young folks. They got to, no, the word of God is in you and it's near you. And the word is in you and you're going to be able to speak to people. You are going to be able to speak deliverance to people. Don't sit back and say, I can't do it. How many of you know there are people that are hungry for Jesus? And he's given you a word that you would. It's for today. Say today. It's like you might have gotten it 30 years ago, but it's current and it's evident for somebody's life today. Today. Say today. Excuse me. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Are we going to rejoice and be glad in it? Or are we just going to say, hell, I made it another day. Woo-wee! Made it. God has not left us alone. But we all have something called free will. You see, God's not going to make you do anything. Can I get an amen? He's not going to make you do something. And sometimes we want to sit back and say, well, Lord, if you want me to prophesy, you're going to have to stick me in the rear end. Lord, if you want me to do something, you're going to have to slap me off the pony. Lord, if you want... Well, how many of you know he's ready to start slapping? We have free will. And if you reject God, and if you walk away from your calling, and if you walk away from the day of your visitation, guess what? I hate to tell you this, but he'll use somebody else. He'll use somebody else because he is going to get accomplished what he wants done. And it's such an honor and a blessing to be used by God. Whenever we start allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and we start walking in the faith and victory, and all of a sudden you start seeing things are changing. I no longer think the way I used to think. How many of you can say amen? I no longer do what I used to do. Come in and say amen. But now I'm going to learn. Say learn. How to walk in victory. Oh, but I just keep slipping and falling. Get up. Say get up. I slip and I fall and I didn't do this right and I didn't do that right. That's okay. Have you read the scriptures? Have you read through all of the leaders in the Bible where they messed up? Anybody ever read them? They messed up. And sometimes big time, big mistakes. And you might be thinking, well, mine's, well, I've got a terrible problem. Well, guess what? Welcome aboard. We all got issues. We all got situations. But God says, repent. Say repent. Now, that doesn't mean just stay in what you're doing and then think, well, I'm okay, because that's not okay. It's not okay just to say, I'm okay. It is not okay to stay in the sin. It's time. Say it's time. If you want victory, if you want deliverance, if you want freedom, say freedom. I'm going to tell you this little quick story, real quick. I've got to hurry up. My children, when I was raising them up, Carol and I both, we used to say this, said when they were getting to be teenagers, said, if you want us to trust you, don't lie to me. Tell me the truth and you're going to get more freedom, more freedom. But if you lie, Guess what comes back? I'm going to take some freedom away from you. Just like that, God's saying, I'm going to give you what you're ready for. Now, if you're obedient and you do what I tell you to do, guess what you get? More. How many of you want a little more? Or don't raise your hand if you don't want it, because God's looking right now. Don't want to lie to it. Lord, we don't want to lie to you. God is with you here this morning. Don't get caught up. Remember, we have to choose our victory. We must remember Galatians 2 and 17 that says this: I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, the life that I now live, say I live, the life that I now live in the flesh, what? Yeah, because I'm still human. We're all still in the flesh. Unless you're already a ghost, so. In the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Say me. We must not give up. We must not give in. We must not shrink back. We must not live all at all the problems. But we've got to learn that in our weakness, he is made. Do you know he's made strong in you? When you decrease, he increases. He brings us to a place in him. Remember, Jesus told his disciples in the garden, watch this. In Mark chapter 14 and 38, it says it like this. Watch. Say watch. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. How many of you know the devil's out there and he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy us? He's saying, here's the temptation. It don't this look good? Have you ever been tempted? Say yes. Oh, we all go through temptations. Our flesh is weak. Watch this. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing. Oh, it's amazing to me to watch how many people. But I love Jesus. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is, oh, you bunch of wimpy, fleshly people. We all are. We all are. We got problems. We all got issues. We all got things going on. Do we have a willing spirit? Do you have a willing spirit? Lord, I love you. We come in, hallelujah, and that's a good thing. We are to come and gather together and sing praises and give God glory and honor and lift him up and let people see that when we lift Jesus up, he draws people unto him. Oh, if you're just looking for a good church and a good pastor and a good elder and a good deacon and a good worship leader, and you're going to find them, but you're going to be disappointed because they are going to let you down. How many of you know? Have you ever been let down? You will be. It happens. But when you see Jesus and you just lift him up, you know what? When you come to church and you just lift up Jesus and you see him, guess what? You don't care about whether or not somebody's wearing the wrong clothes or the wrong shoes or the wrong hairdo. Man, I don't know what's going on with hairdos. I mean, this is blowing my mind. I was telling Carol the other day, I was watching a program, and everybody on there had messed up hair, you know. I was like, what, they don't comb hair no more? The more messed up your hair is, the better you look, huh? Oh, I'll move off of that. It's unbelievable. Although the disciples were weak, God still used them. How many of you know that Jesus himself had to go every now and then and say, I got to go pray. Let me get away by myself and pray. Because he needed some insight. He needed some revelation. He needed some understanding. How much more do we? We need to get in before the Lord. Although the disciples were weak, they didn't give up. They may have made a few mistakes along the journey, but God says, don't give up. And he's telling you this morning, don't give up. So look at your neighbor. Say, don't give up. Oh, you didn't tell him. So say him again. Don't give up. Some of y'all just received it. You didn't want to give it. You got to not give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't let go. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says this, for the Lord is not slack concerning, say slack. Every now and then there's a spiritual heaviness in the Word of God. And somebody in here has been thinking that the Lord's been slack on you, not giving you what you felt you deserved. Or not you're not where you thought you should be. God is not slack. He knows exactly where you are. He knows what you need for today. Say today. He's pouring out His manna for you today. Let me get back to the word. Slack. God's not slack concerning His promises. He's not slack concerning His promises. But sometimes we put our promises in there and we expect God to fulfill them. Lord, this is what I want. Don't do it. That's called presumptuous sin. You can find that in another place in another day. But is long-suffering towards us. He gives us ample enough time to repent. How many of you had plenty of time that the Lord just has been merciful and graceful? And He says, guess what? I'm going to give you another time, some more time, because you're not there yet. You thought you were. How many of you thought you were there? And then all of a sudden you find yourself doing something that you didn't believe. I can't believe I did that. And you find God will give you ample enough time, just enough time for you to get to where we need to be so that we come to the place of, say, repentance. Have you ever felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit, you don't have to have somebody tell you when you're doing something wrong. You know right when you're doing it, don't you? The Holy Spirit comes on, He convicts you, and then you can either have a hardened heart or you can soften your heart and repent. I'm here to tell you, for those of us that are hard-headed, it's much easier to let our hearts be softened and repent. Say repent. Oh, come on. Let's say repent. You see, sometimes we're scared of that word. We don't really want to repent. Sometimes people don't want to repent. They're just sorry they got caught. I'm here to tell you it's time to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not sorry that I got caught, Lord. I was just
fooling God.
No. It's not about that. You might think it's all fun and games, but I'm here to tell you, life is real. Say real. Do you know life is real? Do you know God's got a destiny plan for you? Do you know He's got something? Have you ever heard the story of the prodigal son? Oh, we're going to get there in just a minute. But he took his inheritance. Say inheritance. Johnson, say inheritance. Yeah, they were preaching about that the other night. The inheritance. And they wasted it. He wasted it. The prodigal son took his inheritance and he wasted it. And sometimes we have been inherited. Whew. I'm here to tell you that God has poured out His Spirit. And there's an inheritance that the body of Christ have wasted away. They've come and have not realized that God has invested a huge amount into us. And some of us have decided to just waste it away. I just go, next month. Wasting away our talents and our abilities and our skills for the Lord. He wants us. He wants us. Say, He wants me. He wants you, your talents. Watch this. Remember when Jesus walked into Jerusalem? Listen to this story. You know when Jesus walked into the Jerusalem? Watch what it says. Luke chapter 19 and 41. It says, now as He drew near, He saw the city and wept. Do you know that Jesus sometimes looks at us and He weeps because we're not where we should be? We're not where He called us to be. We're not. Jesus wept when He walked into the city of Jerusalem. You know, sometimes you read Scripture and you don't personalize it, but I love to personalize it. I like to take the Scripture and say, Lord, how does that apply to me? Am I Jerusalem? Yes, you are. So He walked into Jerusalem and He wept over it. And He said, if I had known, even you, say me, even you, especially this, your day. How many of you know today's your day? Oh, nobody raised their hand. Today's your day? Ooh, okay, just checking. I didn't make sure you didn't want to fall asleep. I don't want you falling asleep. I know you had a rough night. It's Christmas time. You're out extra shopping. Pay attention. Especially if I had known, even especially in this day, the things that God has made for your peace. Now, I'm going to bring that right down to our English. Do you know what God has already prepared for you? Do you know what He's... If you had known the things that God has already done for you, how many of you can say, thank you, Jesus, for what you already have done for me? If we knew what was going on. If you had known, this is what he's telling Jerusalem as he's walking in. Oh, he wept and he said, if you'd known, yes, you, if you would have known, especially you, this day. But know that they are hidden from your eyes. Now they're hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you. Listen to what he tells to Jerusalem. Now this is a warning. Listen. But now they are hidden from your eyes. You won't be able to see it no more. The day will come upon you when your enemy, say enemy, when your enemy will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side. You know, many times I've read this and I never personalized it. But all of a sudden, it was a reality this week. You see, the Lord just keeps giving us revelation day in, day in, day. And he says, just like that, there's many of us that at the enemy, say the devil. The devil's built an embankment around us and he's surrounding us and on every side. Have you felt overwhelmed? Well, because we didn't know. Watch what it says. And surround you on every side and close in on every side and leave you and your children within you to the ground. And there will not be left in you one stone upon another. Have you ever felt confused and just never, you couldn't figure out what's going on and why? God, where are you and what? Well, that's because we didn't know the day. Because you did not know the time. Say time. Of your visitation. When is our visitation? Say today. Today is the day of visitation, says the Lord. I'm coming. The Lord is coming. And he wants to establish a relationship with you like never before. Today is your day. Say my day. Back up to Jesus now. Luke chapter 19. And when he went into the temple, then they began to drive out those who bought and sold. And they said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of... Are we praying? Or are we just going to church? Are we praying and not just saying, God, I need? Are we praying? I don't mean I need a better relationship and I need to understand your word. But I don't need a new car. I don't need a swimming pool for sure. In case you didn't know, my pool collapsed in and now it's full of mud. Hallelujah. I have been delivered. He said, he went into the temple and he began to drive out those who bought and sold in it. Sometimes we come to church and we're just thinking about all kind of other things and we're just trying to manipulate and get to a place where we want to be instead of realizing that God's already paid the price. We don't have to worry about having a name badge or a placement in the. You just do what God's called you to do. And what happens is when we are obedient and we're doing what God called us to do, then what happens is the church recognizes it. Hallelujah. We must be geniuses. All of a sudden we say, look at that prophet of God. Why? Because they're prophesying. Oh, boy, that's a difficult one to figure out, huh? Look at that person. They got the gift of healing. Why? Because they're laying hands on people and praying for them, huh? You see, because the healing is not them. It's from God. It's for all. All. And he drove out those who bought and sold. And it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But, you have made it a den of thieves, trying to come in and trying to get to somebody else's spot. Oh, that's my pew. Get up. You just get to, but I'm using that as an analogy. Sometimes we think we have to have a certain position level. We have to be. We don't. How many of you know that we won't be able to steal the presence of God? You see, sometimes we think we can just come in and get a little bit and go out and do our own thing. But the presence of God is holy. I love that song. Holy. Holy. What are we doing in our temple? What are we doing with our temple? Are we selling out to Jesus? Are we selling out to Satan? Are we selling out to things? What's more important? John chapter 5 and 24 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes them in him whom I sent has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. How many of you have been in death and now you're living in life? You were dead once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was dead and now I'm alive. Are you alive in Jesus? Or are you just surviving? There are a lot of people that's just breathing air, but they're not living. Oh, they think they are. Oh, I just got to go get a drink. I just got to go do one more line of that Coke. I got to just do one. If I could just get that stuff, will never satisfy you. How many of you have been there? Anybody been there? You tried it. You know it's not satisfying you. You're still empty. You still have a void. You still have something's not right. And you know it. And you know her. So you got to give it up to Jesus. That's because He brings you from glory to glory. And you can never get... Sometimes people get satisfied. Sometimes people get... Well, you know, I've been going to church for 50 years now. Woo-wee, I just love Jesus. There's more. There's more. Don't get comfortable. Don't get discomfortable and sit back. Go spread the word of God. He's anointed you. Are you an anointed child of the Most High God? Then don't just sit back and say, "Whoo, man, I've been doing this for 50 years. I'm done. Let them young people do it." Come on. Realize that God's called you and He set you right where He wants you. Live. Don't most assuredly, look what it says. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming. And now, say now. And now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Oh my goodness. Man, the Lord's speaking a lot this morning. He said, somebody here needs to hear this word. Those who hear. You see that up there in Scripture? It says, those who hear. Those who hear. Make your ears attentive. Tune in to what God is saying. There are some folks in here this morning that you're tuning in and you're tuning out. You kind of turn the volume up every now and then it gets loud, so you turn it down. And the Lord says, quit turning the volume down because I'm trying to talk to you. Those who hear, say, will live. You want some joy? You want some happiness? You want some peace in your life? You'll live. You'll live what? By the faith of the Son of God, who loved you and gave Himself for you. Now, let me get back to the prodigal son real quick, because that's where I wanted to head. But when, listen to this. The story of the prodigal son is after he wasted his inheritance. Watch what this says. But, Luke chapter 5 and 17, it says, but when he, the prodigal son, when he came to himself. Here you go. Pay attention. Watch this. You won't see this too often. But it's like this. Wake up! You just come to yourself. Boy, that hurt her. This older body is much more tender than my younger body was. I used to do that with no problem. That hurt you. Don't waste your inheritance. Wake up. When he came to himself. Say when. Watch this. I came to myself. And he said, I said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. That's another word. There's another word right there for somebody. I perish with hunger because you're not eating what God is supplying. I will rise up and go to my father's house and I will say to him, Father, here you go. Repent. I have sinned against you, against heaven and before you. You see, you have to come to the realization that the word repent really means repent. It don't mean think about it. It don't mean, whoa, I got caught. It don't mean just, well, I'll just get by a little longer. No, repent. I mean, come on, examine yourself. Because like I said earlier, you know when you're not in the right place. Anybody knows when you're not in the right place and you're fine. I mean spiritually. I don't mean when you're sitting in the barroom and it's very evident you know that you don't belong there, right? I don't know why Jesus ain't using me. You find yourself in that environment, you're like, that ain't where I need to be. But no, I'm talking spiritually. You find yourself not where you're supposed to be. How many of you, of your father's servants, have bread enough? Bread talks about life-giving, sustaining, life-giving bread. Jesus is the bread of life. Has bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I'm so hungry for you, Lord, but I'm not eating. I just want to go to church and have them feed me. How long are you going to stay a baby? How long are you going to get spoon-fed? Well, I ain't going to that church no more. That pastor never feeds me. I know more than him. Well, that's why you're not preaching, right? Because if you knew more than him, you'd be somewhere preaching. Huh? What? Oh. Well, you thought you knew. Well, I'll just leave that alone. I will rise. Say rise. I will rise and go to my Father's house. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and before heaven. When will we come to ourselves? When will we come, watch this, to our senses? Realize that the devil has deceived people. And that's what he keeps trying to do. How many of you know that Adam and Eve were deceived into thinking that, well, I could just do this and then I'll be like God. Oh, my. Too many of us are deceived into doing just a little. Lord, I'm not terrible. I'm better than that guy. Lord, I'm okay. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for where a man sows, he shall also reap, the word says. When will we awaken, the scripture says in Proverbs. When will we awaken out of our slumber? Slumber, just like, oh well, I'll get there sooner or later. I'll just, one of these days, I'll get there. I'll go to church long enough and I'll get it through osmosis. It'll just saturate in. Let me just tell you a quick little story. Anybody remember something called Candid Camera a long time ago? I'll tell you a little story. You may have seen this one. The guy pulled in there with a car to get his gas filled up, and they couldn't find the gas cap. It was when that new car came out and had the gas cap behind the taillight. And they looked all over the cup of the car, and they couldn't find where to put the gas in. And the lady, of course, she was part of the setup. She says, well, can we just pour it all over the car and it'll suck in somewhere? And sometimes that's how we come to church. Lord, I'm just coming to church. Pour it all over me. Maybe it'll suck in somewhere. We just want to be saturated in His presence. Yeah, I got to go there. I got to go here. Well, we saturated in God's presence. He saturates us in His presence. He saturates us in His presence. Watch this. And we decide to go. Thank you, Lord. Wasted our inheritance. Did not realize the day of our visitation. We were saturated in His presence. And we wasted it away. And we've come to the conclusion that, well, I'm just not that good. I'm just not that. That's the lie of the devil. The lie of the devil wants you to think that you're not good enough. You didn't receive the Holy Spirit. How many of you ever heard that one? You didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Anybody here that's received the Holy Spirit, that the devil's come to you and lied to you and told you you didn't receive it? Come on, show these other folks that they need to know that they're not alone. You see, the devil comes in and he tries his hardest to make you, to deceive you into believing the lies of the world, of the flesh. When will we awaken? Say awaken. Look at your neighbor and tell him to wake up. He says, it's almost over. It's 12. Hallelujah. Wake up out of your slumber. Wake up and see what reality really looks like. How many of you ever seen The Matrix? You ever seen that? If you didn't, you know, it's kind of a neat thing. It plays on a spirituality and a reality of life. And sometimes we don't realize the reality of our life. And some of us have taken the wrong pill. And we believe in the lie of Satan. There's a reality that God wants to awaken us up to. Don't just think everything's okay. It's not. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is truth, and it is living. And it will divide. It will separate. It'll bring us to an understanding of what God is and who He is as long as we keep seeking Him. When we stop, He don't walk away from us. He don't give up on us. Many of us will walk away. We take off our saturation and we waste it. We just throw it over there. Well, you know, thank you, Jesus, for your saturation. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, but I don't want to use it now. Uh-oh. The reality of life. Realize the importance of it. Johnson reminded me last week of my favorite saying, ta-da! Ta-da! Can you just start telling the devil, ta-da! I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm in process of renewing a new creation. I am in a process of learning and finding out what reality is. You just start telling Satan, you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. Get out of my life. Get out of my life. You have no authority here. I'm a child of the Most High God. Prophesy to yourself and say, it's time for me to stand up and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and live like the Son of God and realize that He's anointed you to carry forth the most precious thing in the world, His Word. He wants us, say me, to carry the Word of God to a generation that needs Jesus. He came to Himself. We'll upgrade that statement to ta-da. Learn the word tada. Luke chapter 6 and 21. Blessed are you, say me, who hunger and thirst. Who hunger now. I missed a word. I got to back up. Say now. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Our victory is here today. Do you realize it is time for us to walk in faith and victory? Ephesians 4 and 28, and I'm done. Let him who stole, steal no longer. Now, what am I saying? Don't come to church and try to get some of Bob's stuff. Don't come to church and try to get some of Miss Gloria's stuff. Because you got to come to church to get your stuff. Say your stuff. My stuff. You got to come and get your stuff. My stuff is not going to work for you. My manna is not going to feed you. But I'm here to tell you that God's got manna. He's got His provision. He's got what He has ready for you. Oh, if you only knew what He has prepared for you. You would not miss the day of your visitation. Watch this. But rather let Him labor. What? Let Him labor working with His own hands. That means you're going to have to go and get your word yourself. When you just tired, well, no wonder why people are tired of pastors and tired of churches, because they're not feeding themselves. They're expecting to get fed by them, and then they're disappointed because they put amen, on a pedestal or in a place that He was never meant to be. Jesus is our mediator. He is the one that's between us and God. No pastor died for you. No church died for you. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Don't get now. Yes, the word says don't forsake the assembly to get subject together. I believe that we should gather together because you know what? That's where encouragement comes. The brothers and sisters in Christ, iron sharpening iron, making some sparks. How many of you made a few sparks? Whew, some of us made a lot of sparks. Labor. Watch this. Let him labor, working with his own hands what is good, and that he has something to give to him who is in need. How many of you know you've got something to give? Not me, brother. I don't have nothing. Yes, you do. If you've given your life to Christ, you've got the most valuable thing that could possibly. Why do you think He said to be great in God's kingdom is to be servant of all? Why do you think He says to be great in God's kingdom is to be a servant of everyone? That He might have some to give to him who is in need. Watch this. Listen carefully. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that you might be imparters of grace to the hearer. How many of you know there's people listening?
There's people watching. There's people listening to words that you are saying. How many of you know we've got to be careful for the words that are coming out of our mouth? Do we know that we're accountable for all of the words that come out of our mouth? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you have were sealed from the day of redemption. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for redeeming us. Aren't you glad He redeemed you? But let all bitterness... What it said? Let all bitterness... But you don't understand. That made me mad. But let all bitterness, wrath... But let all bitterness, wrath, and anger... Clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. Get away from it. Realize that it's not profitable. It's only going to bring you down and somebody else down with you. Have you ever seen somebody trying to witness and before they go on, the person that they were trying to witness looks at you and said, boy, am I glad he's gone. And be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. What? You want me to be a wimp? No. I didn't say that. Kind and tenderhearted. I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes men especially got an issue with, I'm macho, I'm a man. I don't cry. I make this statement a couple of times around here. When I first started coming, there was a fella named Heavey. What was his first name? John Heavey. I can't believe I forgot his first name. Anyway. He was a big hugger. I mean, I walked in this church and he gave me this big old bear hug. And I'm like, get away from me, man. And, you know, we don't come from men hugging men. No. And every Sunday, I mean, I would be this, you know, you ever get a hug from somebody and they do this? And, you know, you're hugging them and they're like, you're thinking, God, can you give me a little touch back or something? And they just stand there. I was standing there like that. He hugged me every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning. I'm like, man, quit hugging on me. I'd be, Brother John, let me go over here. Wasn't very long. I started hugging back. Hey, brother. Get that man hug. Then there came a day when they left town, and I started weeping because I realized I'm not going to get my man hug no more. You see, the Lord softens our heart. Learn to be tender-hearted. Watch this. Forgiving one another. Be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted to one another. Forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ has forgiven. Are you ready to start living in victory? Are you ready to start living in victory? Stand on your feet. Let me pray for you. Because God's got an awesome plan for your life. He's got something stirred up for you. I'm here to tell you, if you've never given your life to Christ, it's time right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is your time. Today is your day. Before I finish, Murray, you got something you got to read?
No, but I got something that's on my heart.
All right, come on. Hang on. I see him over there about to pop.
I want everybody to pray for me, okay? Because I know this ain't just for me. But this right here where it says, let all bitterness
yes.
and wrath and anger
yes.
be put away.
Yes, put it away.
Say, let all bitterness for those who you think got it coming.
That's right.
There's a lot of stuff going on right now. You know, I'm being righteously hurt. Okay? And there's no such thing.
That's right. Jesus. That's right.
So who am I to think that I got the right to be bitter to somebody for something they're saying
or doing
that hurts my feelings? Okay?
Yes. That's right. That's the word. How many of you needed that? Look around, Murray.
We all need it. We all need to learn how to forgive. Forget. What? You know, the word, for, they tell you if you don't forget, you didn't forgive. That's a lie. I can remember back when I was 10 years old, things that happened to me. It hurt. It wounded me. I remember my sister, not you. My other sister broke my heart. Listen to this. I was 6, 7, maybe 8. And my sister gave all of the grandchildren popsicles, ice creams. And, you know, popsicles, they got the little divided in 2 sticks. I was the older one. I was 8. I should have got a whole popsicle. I should have gotten a whole popsicle. Well, I think Patrice was the youngest, her daughter. She was the littlest. She gave out all the popsicles and she got to the last one. She broke it in half and gave the baby one and gave the oldest person one. Guess who the oldest person was? Me! I got a half a popsicle! You must be... I was 8 today! I still remember it. I did forgive her. But I've never forgot it. So when they say if you didn't forget, you didn't forgive, that's a lie. You will remember a lot of things that happened to you. But I choose, say I choose, to forgive them. There's no more bitterness. There's no more anger. There's no more, I like to play with it. But there's no bitterness. There's no anger. Now it's joy. The joy of the Lord can be your strength. Allow the joy to come into your heart and life. Come on, let me pray. Let me finish up. Father, we thank you for another wonderful day. Lord, we thank you for your word. Now, Lord, we ask you to take the word that we heard this day. Lord, shake it up inside of our hearts and minds. Let us walk with endurance the race that you've set before us. Lord, let us not cop out. Let us not wimp out. Let us not shrink back. But Lord, let us take your word and run the race that you've set before us. Lord, run with endurance the race that you've set before us. Let us not grow weary in doing good, but in due season, say due season, you shall reap your reward. Father, thank you for your reward. Glorify your name, magnify your name in all the earth. Don't forget, this is Christmas season. Tell somebody Jesus loves them and he died for them. Not just born for them, but he died for them. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen and Merry Christmas.